Hi, buddy. Your old friend Mike Houlihan here for Hibernian Radio. Happy New Year. We're repeating one of our favorite shows from last July as we welcome a pair of ladies who share their wisdom from their long careers as paramedics for the Chicago Fire Department, Maureen Lowney and Maggie Murphy. They got some great stories, so tune in and enjoy the show, and Happy New Year. Thanks for listening.
One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
Yeah, you got to roll with the punches. Hi, everybody. Your old pal Mike Houlihan. Once again with Hibernian Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We're so glad you're joining us. We're brought to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal, Mike Haggerty Buick GMC Volkswagen, and most recently, personal injury attorney Carol Ann Gallagher from County Donegal. And we thank for all of them for putting us on the air. What a show we got tonight. You know, somebody asked me tonight, hey, where's Skinny? Well, folks, Skinny retired back December 31st. So we have a new show, and the new show is Hibernian Radio with a special focus on Irish first responders. Why? Because they have the best stories, but also because, you know, it's an Irish show. We're going to continue with the Irish theme, but we want to learn about the experiences here in Irish Chicago. So if we want to learn more about our Irish mythology, all we have to do is look to our Irish police, firefighters, and paramedics. These are the heroes of our time, fighting in a war that never ends, risking their lives for the safety and well-being of us and our families. So that's what Hibernian Radio is all about. We're trying to uncover the oral history and stories of our mythical Irish heroes and warriors. And boy, do we have a couple of hot babe warriors tonight. Chicago Fire Department, Maggie Murphy. Chicago Fire Department, Maureen Lowney. Welcome to the show, both paramedics.
Thank you. Thank you.
You guys are terrific. Thank you for your service. So, Maureen?
Yes.
How did you get into it? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Bridgeport.
Right.
And
we just saw the Ronnie Marasso walk by. Do you know the Marassos from Bridgeport?
No, they're probably from the other side.
Okay, I'm sure he is. He'll be over here in a minute. You can say hello to him.
I think the kids know him.
But so you grew up in Bridgeport,
mm-hmm.
And what? You were one of the first people to go on the fire department. First females, right?
Yeah, I was the ninth woman.
The ninth woman on the ninth Chicago woman. Fire Department. What year was that? Do you remember?
1975.
Wow. That's not that long ago.
No, yeah. The first woman came November of 74.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then how long were you on before? You're retired now,
yeah,
right?
I did 30 years.
Wow, good for you.
I
Holy
was
cow.
36 when I came on.
Oh,
so I was
yeah.
66 when I retired.
And how about you, Maggie? Where'd you grow up?
Around Midway Airport, or if we're going to go truly Irish history, our first house was in St. Rita Parish,
sure.
And then we moved to St. Mary's Star of the Sea.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So that's how you knew yourself then.
You know, Father Tony Brankin, do you know him? He was my pastor at St. Odilo's for years. He grew up in St. Rita.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, terrific guy.
He's only there for a small time, and then we were St. Mary's Star of the Sea.
Okay. And then where'd you go to high school?
Maria.
School,
oh,
the
late.
Right. Oh, that's too bad they closed Maria.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when did you come on the fire department?
1993.
Okay.
April 1st.
And you're still there, right?
No fooling, I am. I'm still there.
A paramedic?
I am.
You're like the commander of paramedics, right?
Well, you know, that's it depends on your definition. You know, in the scope of the Chicago Fire Department,
yeah,
the only thing those bars on your collar make you is the fan, and what hits the fan first.
Very good.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Right. So where are you working now? Where are you based out of?
I'm assigned at Midway.
Oh, Midway Airport.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's kind of a cushy gig, isn't it?
Well, it's very nice. We still respond to the city, so
you never know
where you're going to end up, but
it's
a very interesting facet.
Yeah.
For my first 23 years, I was assigned to one of the top 10 busiest ambulances. So,
where was that?
Where was that?
Yeah.
Well, Amelin's 15 at Chicago and Lamont, and Amelin's 23 at Harrison and Laramie.
Holy cow.
71st in Parnell, 59th in
excuse
State.
Excuse me, but that's the ghetto, if you excuse the expression, but those are rough areas, right?
Well, they're a bit rough, but again, I like having students. I like teaching.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
keeps you humble.
Mm-hmm. And where did you work, Maureen?
I did 15 years in Englewood, Cabrini, Taylor.
Wow.
And loved every day of it.
Yeah.
I had some wonderful people, you know.
Yeah.
And I always felt that some of them walked around with the weight of the world on their shoulders.
Yeah.
And if I could help them,
God bless you.
I would. And if I couldn't, I tried.
Yeah. Well, you both got into it to help people, basically.
Right.
God bless you both. That's terrific. And that's what firefighters are all about, you know.
Mm-hmm. I have to dispute one thing, though.
Yes.
When I interviewed for paramedic school, I did say that I could tell you I'd like to help people and make the world a better place. But the bottom line is I'm nosy. I just need to know what's going on.
I want to know what's going on.
What the hell are they doing over there?
Yeah.
I want to go look.
That's the old thing. Something happens, say, well, who knows? Well, those guys over there, those coppers or those firefighters, they know what's going on.
Right. Or at least look like they do.
Yeah.
So that's why, but you were a curious person.
Yeah, I was.
Well, you've both been through the mill. Any stories that stand out or pinnacles that you'd like to look back on? Great moments in Chicago Fire Department history?
Well, people don't understand that every run we get is like shoved to the back of our head. You know what I mean? You always know. I could tell you my first auto accident, my first SIDS.
Yeah.
I could, you know, you could go on and on, you know, or you might have worked with another paramedic. I had one, and I used to call him my black cat because if I had a stabbing, and when I worked with him, I really had a double stabbing.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would nickname him.
He was bad luck.
Black cat. But wonderful people, you know.
Did you and Maggie work together at all ever?
She used to ride with me before she came on.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So we were at 60 at Ashland at that time.
60th and Ashland, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ambulance 49. And I got to know my regulars. They would wait for me, you know.
What do you mean your regulars? The regulars?
Customers,
victims?
I called them, yeah.
Oh,
my
wow.
My customers. Because I said, if they don't call 911, I don't have a job.
Oh, yeah.
The kids would. They'd run by the ambulance and say, is that you, Maureen?
No kidding.
Or Mo. Yeah. Or they'd yell Mo. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they were calling 911 for
But they'd look, you know. Oh, yeah. I mean, to them it was legit.
I lost my car keys kind of a thing.
No. Oh, we've had them.
Yeah.
You know, I got to get to my doctor appointment, you know.
And they call 911.
You got change.
Oh, wow.
Or do you have a cigarette?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
They call 911. I got to have a cigarette.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know
if
you'll recall this one run, but it was a domestic situation, and the gentleman had a laceration to his forehead.
Right.
Because he was fighting with his wife, and she threw an ashtray at him.
Yeah.
And he was moaning, do you believe she did this to me? Do you believe she did this to me? And Maureen's taking down the information. And then I forget what else he said, but she goes, I've had enough of this. She said, you'd never put your hands on a woman. And if it was me, you wouldn't be talking right now.
Good for you.
That's bad, but I used to say that even to the prostitutes.
Well, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
I'd say that'd be the day I laid on my back all day and gave some guy the money.
Oh, that's great.
But it was the truth.
Yeah.
And if you hit me, I'm going to whack you so
whack
good.
Whack you right back, yeah.
With a frying pan.
Yeah.
Cast iron.
So some of the other most interesting things, too, is before we had our big alarm Office of Emergency Communications in the city of Chicago, there's an alarm office right off of the Dan Ryan Expressway.
63rd.
Right across from St. Bernard's Hospital.
Yeah. Now,
not St. Bernard. That's a dog.
St. Bernard's. Oh. Jackson Park Hospital. Yeah.
I was corrected on that.
Oh.
And they would dispatch the ambulances on the south side, the Inglewood, and they used pennies on a map to make sure who was in quarters
who was
and who
moving.
Was available.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a foolproof system, I'll have you
know. Oh, yeah, it was great.
Was it magnetic or something?
No. They just had paper, and if you were out, they got you here or there, whoever was available.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there were, when I came, 39 ambulances. I started in a Cadillac.
Whoa.
I had two firemen and me.
Okay, and that was the ambulance, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know why that was, right? Did you ever hear that story?
No.
You want to tell them?
No, you could tell.
So the story goes that old boss Daly.
Oh, yeah.
Richard J. Daly.
So, and he was the mayor.
Quinn. Yeah.
And Robert J. Quinn was the commissioner. Mm-hmm. Mayor Daly had gone to Seattle and learned about
what paramedics
do.
Ah, yes.
So he came and he theoretically sold that to the commissioner. And was like, what do I need that for?
Oh, yeah.
So he kind of spun the story, and it was Robert J. Quinn that said, mm-hmm. Well, if we're getting ambulances, they're all going to be Cadillacs. Because if I'm going out, I'm going in style.
That's what he said.
Oh, he was quite the character.
Oh, he was.
His mother was from Quilty, I'll have you know, County Clare.
Oh, really?
Ireland.
I remember he had his niece from Ireland visiting him. Got a little trouble for that.
He won't be talking out of turn now.
He used to visit her at Marina Towers, as I recall.
That was his niece, yeah.
Okay. all right, so is the job changed, do you think, over the years?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. How so?
The technical skill and the equipment that we work
with. Oh, the equipment is a lot better. I know that from experience, yeah.
It's improved, but at the end of the day, yeah. And so then the expectation that you have the ability to fix everything.
Oh, sure.
You have the ability to get somebody right into the emergency room. You know, there's just so many different variables, and then society has changed as a whole.
Yes.
It has. For the worse, I'd say, right?
No, there's technology.
Sometimes.
How many times do you see, even if you're sitting at a restaurant like this, a family sitting at the table and everybody's on their phone?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's affected everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we had a paramedic. Do you know her? I think it's Mary Ellen Howell.
Melanie
House.
Yes. Yeah.
And she, the baby that someone put the baby on top of a garbage
can.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Did that stuff happen when you guys were working? I mean, I just think that's horrible, that stuff like that.
Well, it does.
Yeah.
And their little rears on the burners.
Oh, really?
Cigarettes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Some of those, what started with that, and that's how it was a firefighter, right? Wasn't it a captain? Is his name Martin that started the safe haven?
Paul.
Oh, that's right. The safe haven law. Yeah.
Right. So that this is where you can bring a child to the firehouse or a police station. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And no questions asked. Because, yes, those things happen all the time.
Yeah. That's a great thing, actually, that they have that.
It is.
Absolutely. It is. So.
But they didn't do that. They put the kid on a garbage can, and then somebody said, bring him to the fire station.
Yeah. Well, again, because, you know, your conscience is your conscience.
Yes. Yeah.
And what you think is the right thing to do, if you have three other people saying, oh, it's okay, then you go along.
Or you don't know what else to do.
True.
Maybe your parents don't know.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
now,
it's a shame.
So you guys meet people at their most critical time in their lives, probably. Mm-hmm. They're in a crisis mode.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you're both compassionate about that. But as you did, Maureen, you had to set them straight. Sometimes you have to straighten people out.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what are you, an idiot? Mm-hmm. Was there a lot of that on the job?
Oh, sure.
Yeah?
Oh, sure, yeah. It's hopefully you use your common sense.
Yes.
And when you come in, you're asking, what's the problem?
Yeah.
You know? Whereas somebody else might come in and be a little rougher. Now you started a big Donnybrook.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so then I'll tell you, hit the road, I can handle it.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Maureen used to educate all new paramedics that you better watch your mouth. And if you didn't and somebody was swinging at you, she'd step back.
Or I'd let them do it to you.
Yeah.
I'd step back. That's it. Here.
Well, you have to learn, right? They got to learn. Keep your mouth shut, you know. And just.
Well, here's what happened. I then became a field officer, which now they call a chief.
Yeah.
And when I was leaving the job, well, before it, I had two new fellas that were on BLS ambulances.
What's BLS?
Basic life. They were
basic
firemen
life support.
That went into these. So it was the dead of winter, and I said to the kid, I said, now, it's cold. Are you sure you're covering every patient? And I could tell in his eyes, he's saying yes to me, but I know he didn't.
Yeah.
So I said, well, let me put it this way. So I go out, and I pick up your grandma. What the hell do I care? She's nothing to me. I said, I hope she's soaking wet and her dress is up in the air and all the neighbors can see her. The day I left the job, he said to me, Mo, I want to thank you for everything you taught me.
Mm-hmm.
When you said it could be my grandma,
right?
Everybody is covered.
Yeah.
But if sometimes you have to put it, this is you.
Yeah.
This is your family.
Yeah.
And that's how you have to treat people, like it's your family.
Absolutely.
And
God
how
bless you. Yeah.
I want you to treat them.
Yeah.
But
now,
that's it.
I know that occasionally you get people fight with the paramedics.
Oh, sure they do, yeah.
What the heck is that all about? I mean,
well, they're, you don't know. I mean, there's so many different things. I mean, I don't want to get on to drugs and everything, but, you
well,
know.
Well, a lot of it is that. It's somebody on PCP or something.
Oh, PCP's terrible.
Yeah.
I had a kid banging his face on a curb, and a lady standing there said, put your hand there. And I looked at her, and I said, you put your hand there. I said, he's having a good time. Can't you see him? You know. He kept banging his head, so then the police came. We handcuffed, put him in, you know.
He's having a good time.
And he was.
Yeah.
They do not.
They don't know what's
going
on. They
don't know.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah.
That would be one of the biggest things is that, again, we have a society that doesn't expect anyone to have responsibility
right.
for themselves.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So then it falls to the paramedic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the firefighter and that scope of practice and the policeman and that scope of practice and the fire... The paramedic piece of it is you clean up all the dirty stuff, the dirty work, and then we're gonna ask why you didn't do it.
Yeah.
Why didn't you
right.
do it better? Why
right.
didn't you do this?
Right.
Yeah.
So
or you get where they're swearing at you, or saying something.
Yeah.
You know, but years ago we did not have an assist company.
Right.
It was just the ambulance.
Yeah.
And if I had somebody that was pretty heavy or that. I'd look at whoever's on the street with me, and I'd say, hey, Muscles, you
a
got
cop,
anything?
You mean, or just
no,
somebody
just
walking
a,
down the street?
Just a civilian.
Oh, yeah.
You
give
got
me a
anything
hand
wrong with you? And he'd say, no. I'd say, give me a hand.
Yeah.
You'd think I was going to call for manpower? What are you, nuts? I was strong
help
as a
woman. Help me lift this jamoke into the ambulance. Yeah.
See, because at that time we didn't have stair chairs, so we'd have to take the big stretcher down three flights.
Oh,
you know, and it would be me and my partner coming down.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But it was a great job.
Yeah.
But you have to like people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know.
And you met a lot of people, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. And it, you know, it didn't matter to me if you were, you know. Whatever you were, you know, it didn't matter to me. I treated you just like I wanted to be treated.
Good for you.
You know, that's how it went.
Yeah.
We
and
did some rudimentary, this is a few years ago. So Ambulance 15 was the number one in the city, and they ran 7,950 runs.
Oh, yeah.
And I
a year?
In
oh,
the
yeah.
year.
Mm-hmm.
7,000.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 900, wow. Holy cow.
And so if you multiply that by 75 ambulances at the time, and if we just cross paths with 10 people, whether it's, you know, this person there, that person there, I said in the course of a year, paramedics could literally qualify almost 12 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Said you can't show me an election that'll show those kind of numbers.
Yeah.
Can you?
And you're touching all those lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they appreciated a lot of them.
Well, do you ever meet any of them, like, years later or, you know, or
well,
even
no,
weeks later?
You know, no. I always tease. I delivered so many babies.
No
you
kidding.
Know? Oh, yeah. I delivered a lot of babies.
I got a picture of my first baby delivery in October of 1993. I call up herself. You can tell them what you told me?
No.
Okay.
Come on.
You're good.
I'm so excited you would have thought I had this kid. I got pictures. I could bring you pictures.
All right, so
pictures.
This was your first big
my first
delivery
baby
of a child
delivery
as
on
a
the
paramedic.
Job. I'm a candidate.
Yeah.
And I call Maureen, and she's like, ah, You got 9 months to get to the hospital. What are you calling me for? But I didn't let it dissuade me. I still had a great time.
Well, sometimes I wonder who I delivered. I know a few headliners that I could have.
Mm. Oh, yeah, sure.
From Englewood.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. Maybe Chance the Rapper or somebody like that.
Nah.
Okay.
She was out of there by then. But yeah. the fire department every year does do a wonderful, it's called EMS Day.
Yes.
Yes.
And
when is that?
May. It's usually like May 22nd or 23rd.
Yeah.
And they do bring back people who have been, we've been fortunate enough to save them. So
yes.
Our cardiac arrest save. And, you know, this is the thing that you lose sight of. First of all, the job that we do can always just be magnified by the media and,
yes.
and just, you know, talk about all the bad stuff. But over the years, I've been able to just see, like, two paramedics saved a little girl who was choking mm-hmm. on a balloon.
Mm-hmm. You know, years ago, I used to write for the Sun-Times. I did a story on a little kid who got a cupcake caught in her throat.
Yeah.
And they had this equipment. Yeah. That sucked the thing right out. The fireman. The fireman mm-hmm. saved mm-hmm. this kid's
sure,
life.
Sure.
And so we brought the kid back to the fire department to meet. It was just terrific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was like seven, you right. know. I can't remember her name now, but we called her the Cupcake Kid.
Oh,
you know?
There you go.
But yeah. And it was because of the modern equipment that they were able to do that. I mean,
yes.
You can only Heimlich somebody sore for so long. But they had to have something that pop
pull
that
it
thing out.
Out.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And there's a certain finesse to say, you know what, this is really bad, so take a deep breath and let's do what we have to do.
Yes.
Yeah. As
the kid had turned
panicking.
Blue and everything.
Truly.
And, yeah.
And then
yeah.
you just need someone with their wits about them, and
yeah.
it's remarkable. And it's the peripheral family and friends that we don't really interact with a lot, but that's who, when I've gone to the EMS day, that it's phenomenal. Two of our paramedic co-workers, two gals, saved a baby who was born not breathing.
Yeah.
And the grandmother was beyond thanking them for her granddaughter and their strong work and how wonderful mm-hmm. it was. So it's, you know, like Maureen said earlier, when we're supposed to make a difference, we do.
Yeah.
Can't always get in there.
We try.
But yeah, yeah.
You know, it just came to me an old story about a friend of mine who was a Chicago Fire Department paramedic, and he was in the ghetto. And there was a guy, you know, passed out or whatever, and he was in bad shape. Maybe he had a heart attack or whatever. And his brother was there and said, I put ice on his That's what you're supposed to do, right?
Oh.
He says, that's exactly what you should have done.
That's right.
He just humors the guy. You did exactly the right thing, he tells the guy.
Well, I would have said his thing. I wouldn't have said that.
Oh, he cracked me up. All right.
We have, you know,
one of my
wonderful
first,
people.
Absolutely.
One of my first introductory by the senior paramedics as we came on is they gave a little test and they wanted to know if I could explain to them what the smooth was.
The smooth?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they shared a story that they responded to a run and a man had a cut on his head and they said, sir, what happened? He said, I got hit. They're like, what did you get hit with? He goes, I got hit with this move.
Smoothie.
And yeah. and they're like, a spoon? What kind of spoon? What was that? Was it a stick? And he's like, no, a smooth. He says, what you smooth the clothes with?
An iron.
There you go.
Smooth.
One of our friends went on a run, and they were Oriental, and she's yelling at my friend. And all
Asian
of a sudden, people. She went to, Nancy?
No.
Oh, and all of a sudden, here the lady put the damn hatchet right in the middle of her forehead. Yeah, da-dang!
Holy cow!
Or a cleaver, that's what it was.
Youch.
Was she hurt?
Well, I think so.
Holy cow.
Well,
she was walking and talking, so the Chicago way. Yeah. If you can make it to the ambulance.
Yeah. And my other friend, she had someone put the heavy rake, not one of them, into a kid's fell or something. It was stuck here.
A rake. Yeah, big metal rake. Yeah.
And so the fireman had to cut the handle to fit the kid
into the ambulance.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You never know. You know, I had a guy fall two floors, and he's walking around outside, and I couldn't get his name, so I just put Rufus B. Fall.
Rufus, Rufus
and picked
V-fall.
Up a guy half frozen. I called him Jack Frost.
I what was the patient's name?
I had to put something down.
That's great.
She
and
taught me that. There was a baby, a woman who delivered the baby
in
the toilet.
In the elevator. Oh.
In the toilet, and I had to write the run sheet.
Oh, yeah. Oh no, that was Betty Ford.
No. But there's a chief complaint section.
Oh, yeah.
And I put the chief complaint. I felt something cold on my head. And that got flagged, so I got called
got,
in for a review.
We got caught on that stuff. No, I delivered a baby in the elevator while it was moving in Cabrini.
Yeah.
And I asked her not to push. This was going to be her seventh kid, you know.
Yeah.
And my partner was stuck behind the other part of the stretcher, and two cops, nobody could move but me. And I said, no, I told you don't push. There's the boy.
Oh, I came right out, yeah.
You know. And that was moving.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
You know, because you want to hurry up and suction and everything.
Oh,
you
sure.
Know.
Yeah.
But here's Nancy couldn't get to the bag, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great job. We met wonderful, wonderful
people.
I'll
bet you did. Well, you're confronting humanity every day.
Oh,
you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, you got where you took care of the mother. The son, you know, I mean, you got to know all these
over
people.
Time. Yeah, mm-hmm, the same right. Family. You're going back mm-hmm. to the same house and everything.
And when I was, I don't know if I can include this, but I was on The Price is Right, I said 1986.
As a contestant.
Yes. So it was October, and then it was going to be shown December. So I made sure I told all my people in Englewood, now you watch. December 12th, you watch. I said, I'm going to be on. So then... The lady called the ambulance, and I didn't respond, but it was my rig.
Yeah.
Where's that lady? Well, I don't know who you mean, man. Where's that lady on that truck? He says, I don't know who you mean. You know, the one on The Price? Oh, Mo, she's off today.
They remembered.
Yes. Oh, I knew my addresses.
That is the coolest thing I have to tell you. With the exception of trying to find our way down here,
mm-hmm.
Just to know exactly where you're at.
Sure, you know.
The city grid.
You
we
get
didn't
the calls.
Have
yeah.
Garmin.
Yeah.
And one of the senior.
Oh, you didn't have GPSs
right,
or anything
no.
like that. Yeah.
No. These
yeah.
guys, when I first came on, so 26 years ago, you'd get in the ambulance and they were like, go over here, turn here, turn here.
Mm-hmm.
Halsted's 800. This is your address. Mm-hmm. You go between here.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll never know all that stuff. And
yeah.
now
and then you know what
good.
One went north
and
south.
And once you're working that district every day,
oh,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
whoa, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
But it was a great job. And I hope everybody that's on the fire department appreciates it. When I came on,
yeah,
they offered me $9,000 a year. I thought I died and went to
oh,
heaven.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
She didn't have a driver's license either,
no,
did you?
No, I had to learn how to drive so I could drive an ambulance.
Oh, wow. I'll remember that next time I see one bearing down on me.
Yeah.
Oh, no, now I get mad if I see them poking along.
Oh, yeah.
Hit the pedal.
Right.
You guys got to come back. You're just terrific.
Very good.
Thanks.
And thank you so much for all you do for the city and have done for the city. And for all the people good. You've helped, God bless you.
He has many times.
Yes
he has. I'm sure he has.
He has many times. Many
all right.
Times.
You guys are fabulous. Thanks
Thank
so
you,
much, Maggie Murphy
us.
And Maureen Lowney, two of Chicago Fire Department's finest. God
you
bless you both.
It.
We're going to take a little break here on Hibernian Radio and be right back after these messages from our friends.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Caroline Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Caroline Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
There's only one Irish pub in the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian radio show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. There's no friend like an old friend. Southside cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000. 708-423-5000 or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did. And we're back. Your old friend Mike Houlihan here with Hibernian Radio. Welcome back to Ladies Night on the show. And now we have a younger version of ladies. We have two All-Ireland world champions with us tonight. We have Brianna Brown. Let me just give you a little recap on her. She's a multi-instrumentalist from St. Louis, Missouri. Oh, she's a two-time All-Ireland World Champion. At age 11, she won the 2015 All-Ireland World Championship in the under-12 concertina.
And in 2016, she won the All-Ireland World Championship in the under-12 mouth organ. Brianna is the youngest American to ever win a world title at the Flak Yol, and the first ever to win the concertina and mouth organ under-12 categories. She's a six-time Midwest Flak champion on concertina, harp, harp slow airs, mouth organ, tin whistle, and tin whistle slow airs. She has qualified to compete at the World Championships a total of 58 times since the age of 7 on various instruments and in various categories. Pretty amazing. And we're glad she's on the show. And then we all have our friend, our old friend, Lexia Kennedy, on the show. She's been on the show many times. She's also appeared in our TV show, Our Irish Pub. And just great to see you, as always. She's going into her sophomore year at Lamont High School, a fiddle student of the Murphy Roach School of Irish Music, under the direction of Kel Cole and her family since the age of 4. Lexia has been a Midwest Region qualifier and has competed at the Flak Yol in Ireland every year since the age of 8. 2018 world champion in, is that U15? Oh, under 15 fiddle solo, and 2015 under 12 fiddle airs. Lexi also leads a beginner session for new sessioneers at Clancy's in Oak Lawn, owner Kevin O'Kennedy, an old friend of ours, every Wednesday night, but not tonight.
Not tonight. Okay,
from 7 to 8:30. She joins many of Chicago's finest museums. Well, she's been at all the sessions and everything, and just one of the stalwarts of the Irish musical community. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're honored to have you both here. So something's coming up, right? You're going to Ireland this summer?
Oh, yeah.
When is that?
That is like August, sometime in August, like August 10th. Yeah. We're probably
okay.
Leaving. Yeah.
And where in Ireland is it?
It's in Drogheda.
Drogheda, one of my favorite towns. Ever been to the cathedral there where they have Oliver Plunkett's head?
I don't think so, but I've heard about it.
Isn't that wild? Mm-hmm. You've seen that, Brianna. That's a great town, Drogheda. So you guys are veterans of that routine.
Oh yeah.
Do you room together or what? Everybody stays at some house or something, right?
Yeah, I mean, she's spent the night over at our house a few times, and I've gone over and.
Is she staying with you this weekend or what? No, this week?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm staying at her house.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Good.
All week.
Oh, that's terrific. And now are you going out to a lot of sessions and stuff?
Every night.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Every night, yeah.
Where have you been?
Galway Arms. We've been to Clancy's, a pub that opened up by my house.
The new one in Lamont.
Yeah, new one in Lamont.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and then back to Galway Arms tonight again.
Who's running the session tonight at Galway?
Katie Grennan.
Oh, Katie.
Yeah.
Katie, the star of Our Irish Pub. Tell her we said hello.
All right.
We should have made her come on tonight. She's not doing anything until 7. What time does that start?
8. 8 to 10. Yeah. 8 to whatever
Well,
time.
You tell her we said hello.
We'll do.
All right, so you want to give us some music now? We want to, because what else? This is nice because obviously you've been here before. Isn't this great out here by the river?
Yeah.
Beautiful
night.
Temperature.
Folks, please come down and join us. By the way, you guys, you're not old enough to drive yet, but when you are, I want you to go to Haggerty's, Mike Haggerty's Buick GMC Volkswagen. Get your car there and tell him who Lee sent you, and you'll get a deal.
Okay.
You hear me, Sam?
Okay.
Okay. Great people. All right, so you're going to play some tunes for us, and then we're going to take a break and do the obits and the other stuff, and then you're going to come back and finish out the show with us. Cool?
All right, sounds good.
All right, so we're going to have to get set up here, but stay tuned for Brianna Brown and Alexia Kennedy.
Thank you.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for, well, for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Caroline Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
Hey, that was terrific. Lexia Kennedy and Brianna Brown, both all Ireland world champions. They were playing Cap and Bell, the Otters Holt, and Jenny's Chickens. Just terrific. Terrific young ladies. And actually, this Friday, they're going to be out in Wheaton for the Dry City Brewery in Wheaton for their first Friday Irish Fest. Irish Fest Friday. Irish First Friday. So even if you don't get there, well, you're not going to be there Friday, but any Friday, Lexi is playing there in Dairy City, Dry City Brewery. And the young ladies are also the winners of the Midwest Duets. And so that's what they're going to Ireland for. They're going to not only they're going to be competing, you know, as solo artists, but as in a duet. That's terrific. That's why they're pals, right? Okay. All right, so, you know, Billy, my old pal, Billy Wooten, you know, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue on the old south side and I look in the window at Ken's or Hart's or Wrong's or any of those great Irish saloons, and I see the ghost of my old pal, Jimmy Goff, through the mist, and he says to me, hey, holy, who died? Suzanne Burke, age 93. She was the mother and friend to her 8 children, John, Jim, Margaret, Sheila, Susie, Bill, Marie, and Mike. Suzanne was born and raised in St. Columbanus Parish. While Suzanne was busy raising her 8 kids at St. Thomas More Parish, she returned to school to obtain a master's degree in special education. She then embarked on a 25-plus year career as a special education teacher in Chicago Public Schools. She volunteered at numerous organizations and was a recipient of the Aquin Guild Distinguished Service Award for Catholic Teachers. In the late 80s, Suzanne moved into Smith Village, where many of our friends are, and she was waked at Sheehy's, where all the right people go. So say a prayer for Suzanne M. Burke, 93. Also, Thomas Patrick Regan, 74, survived by his wife Jill, his 4 daughters, Courtney, Katie, Carolyn, and Margaret. Graduated from St. Sabina Catholic School, Brother Rice High School, Loyola University, and Loyola University's Stritch School of Medicine. He was an orthopedic surgeon, dedicated his life to treating patients from the south side of Chicago through his practice at Southside Orthopedics and Palos Community Hospital. For multiple high schools, he was the team doctor for Alonzo Stagg High School, Brother Rice, Leo High School, St. Lawrence, Andrew High School, Marist High School, Mount Carmel High School, my alma mater, and Moraine Valley Community College. God rest his soul. Dr. Thomas Patrick Regan. And where was he waked? At Sheehy's, where other 8 people go. Also, John Gerald Creighton, age 87, from County Mayo, Ireland. He was from Kiltimaa, County Mayo. Beloved husband of the late Julia and the father of Patrick, John, Julie, Shannon, and Daniel. God rest his soul, John Gerald Creighton. Joe Higgins, also from Mayo County, Westport County, Mayo. He was a loving brother of the late Patrick and the late Eamon. God rest his soul. Say a little prayer for Joe Higgins. And Elizabeth Patricia Garvey, age 76, of Brookfield, formerly of Limerick, the wife of the late Mike Garvey, and the fond mother of Michael Jr., John Sean, and the late Anthony. God rest her soul, Elizabeth Patricia Garvey. And here's a newsflash. Ireland's oldest person has died at the age of 108. Mary Coyne from County Roscommon. Was a resident of in somewhere in Castleria. 8 years ago, she received the centenary, you know, she was 100, from President Michael Higgins. But God rest her soul, the oldest person in Ireland. Also, I want to give a shout out, don't have his obit yet, but my old pal, speaking of, you know, when we say I walk down Western Avenue, this is my buddy John Spellman. He tended bar at Hart's. He knew Jimmy Goff personally. He was a friend of Goff, F-O-G. And he also attended bar at Wrong's Tap on Western Avenue. And people used to say, why do they call it Wrong's? Because the guy who used to own it was named Wright. Anyway, John Spellman, my old pal, died. My college roommate. I'm really upset about it. I'm not going to be able to party with him anymore. But he's in heaven, I'm sure, because he had a good heart and he was a sweet guy. And condolences to his brother Frank and the rest of the Spellman family. We'll have more on him when the obit is printed, but please say a prayer for my buddy John Spellbound Spellman. He had a way with the ladies. That's why we nicknamed him Spellbound. Okay. Now, if you're headed over to Western Avenue tonight, I want you to drop by and see our friends Bernard and Mary Callahan at Barney Callahan's Irish Pub, 10618 Southwestern Avenue. It's the best Southside Irish pub on the South Side. So check it out. And they just had their great Country on Western Festival last year. It was just terrific. Also, if you're going to the South Side, go and see our friend Mike Courtney and his wife Dawn at the Twisted Shamrock Irish Pub, 6462 South Central. It's one of the best Irish pubs in the Midway area. And Mike and Dawn will take good care of yous. And don't forget, the Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all facets of the Irish community, check out our Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call our pal Cliff Carlson, 847-872-0700, or email him at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Now, I didn't get my paper yet, Cliff. Today's July 3rd, because I have a letter to the editor in there that is, I think, pretty amusing. Where I'm, my cousin, Megan, is modeling one of our famous Hooli Hater t-shirts. So look for that in the issue.
Who cares?
Good timing, Billy. in the July issue of the Irish American News. And how are we doing here, my friends? Okay. Well, a couple of funny little stories then, right, Billy? The defendant was before the judge in court, and the judge said, "You have been charged with the murder of your wife by smashing her skull with a hammer until she was dead." Suddenly a voice from the back of the court yells, "You dirty dog!" Well, the judge says, "You've been charged with the death of your mother-in-law by smashing her skull with a hammer until she was dead." Again, the voice from the back of the court goes, "Oh, you bloody blackguard!" The judge looks toward the back of the court and says, "If the man in the back can't control himself, I will have to ask him to leave." And the man replies, "I'm sorry, Judge, but I lived next door to that rotten piece of crap for 20 years, and every time I asked him if I could borrow a hammer, he told me he didn't have one." I thought that's pretty good. Wait, I want to make sure, because there are children present, and sometimes... Oh, this is a good one. Okay. An older gentleman was on the operating table awaiting surgery. He insisted that his son, a renowned surgeon, perform the operation. He was about to go under anesthesia. He asked to speak to his son. His son, the famous surgeon, came in and said, "Yes, Dad, what is it?" "Don't be nervous, son. Do your best. Just remember, if it doesn't go well, if something happens to me, your mother's going to come to live with you and your wife." Okay, thank you. A little late on the rim shot there. All right, the other one I can't tell. But maybe later when Skinny comes by. We have to mic these ladies up. So they're going to, these wonderful gals, the All-Ireland World Champions, Brianna and Lexi, are going to play us out. So thanks for listening. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with them.
Yes.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for tuning in on Ladies Night. Our friends Maureen and Maggie, and to Lexia and Brianna. And Brianna and Lexia are going to take us out. Don't forget, if you want to catch Lexia every first Friday at Dry City Brewery in Wheaton, check it out. She's also every Wednesday night at Clancy's in Oak Lawn, our old pal Kevin O'Kennedy. So they're going to take us out now with some jigs. Thanks, gals. Good luck.